Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you.
Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSF.ca, worldwide online. But as usual, during this safe distancing, you will today hear a recording of a wonderful podcast meeting held yesterday with the Powered by Age group. And we're talking about motherhood, talking about the characteristics of May and ways that you can think differently about this holiday. It's not a commercial moment, but a real inside job. So come on inside and listen. Hello and welcome to Powered by Age. Powered by Age is a senior-led podcast that's been going strong for 52 sessions. Today we're talking about Mother's Day, some things that are inherently and powerful about the month of May, but we will be inviting you to think about what motherhood means to you and ways that you might creatively write something for the person that has brought those nurturing, empowering energies into your life. But first, we have a news break from Jesse.
Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm one of the technical producers of the podcast, and I work with CJSF 90.1 FM. Before we get started, I just want to acknowledge that we're recording, depending where we are, on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples, among others, again, depending where we are. And unceded means that that land was never formally or officially transferred, and that it still sits in a legally questionable status, and that we should be working towards reconciliation and honoring the land that we are on. Also, the Powered by Age podcast is sponsored by the Government of Canada New Horizons for Seniors program and the 411 Seniors Centre Society, excuse me. Yeah, and I'm also going to share just a little piece of news with you folks. I'm just going to bring up a document on my screen for those here at the meeting to see. You have all been invited to the City of Vancouver's Accessibility Strategy Dialogue. Which is, as you can see here, just a series of dialogue sessions happening virtually that will provide you the opportunity to give the city some feedback about what could help you participate with the city and what could help you feel included in your community. So we're looking for people to participate in these two-hour sessions, which involve an hour and a half of talking. Or of conversation. There will be ASL and closed captioning for each session. And the key part here, you'll also be compensated with an honorarium for your participation. So if you want to contribute to the accessibility strategy to help create a livable city designed for all people, you can either email karen.lai@vancouver.ca. That's karen.lai@vancouver.ca. Or if you're here in the meeting and you're interested, you can just write in the chat that you're interested or get in touch with Charlotte, our lovely host, pbaafc@gmail.com. And she can put you in touch with the right people.
Did you have a question, Wendy?
I just wondered how many sessions you're likely to have.
I think it's just one, or like there's one time that they're happening is Tuesday, June 8th from 10 to 12, but there will be, depending on the size, how many people respond, they'll probably have multiple simultaneous discussion groups at sort of like a manageable size.
So it might go on for a few weeks. You would do it, not just 1 2-hour session.
No, I think it is just 1 2-hour session.
Right. Then they'll be looking for another 4 to 5. It's one way they're trying to move around and ask different programs that are involved with seniors for 4 or 5 people from their group so that they will have manageable discussion groups of about
10 to 12 is what they're aiming for.
Okay.
Okay. So now what we usually do is have the people that come on at the beginning introduce themselves. People that come on later, they just get absorbed in the conversation. But we'll start with kind of in the order that I saw people come in. And that was initially Wendy, who is new and is one of our participants. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I've been retired for 10 years, which has been wonderful. My lifetime interests have been writing, writing, visual art, history, photography, and I do a fair bit of social justice stuff. So I'm able to do those things in retirement, and that's just been wonderful. So I've also done a lot in academia. I did a late PhD, which was kind of ridiculous, but I did it partly because I was disabled there for a time, waiting for two hip replacements, and I couldn't do anything else. So you've probably never heard of a person doing a PhD without ever having a goal to do a PhD, but I did one and I did get it finished, et cetera. And it's in history. So I do write history for Deep Cove Heritage Society, and I'm involved with them. I was involved with End Homelessness Now for 7 years. And now I just do, I work on campaigns. You know, we've gone a few months now without a political campaign, which is wonderful because working on campaigns for a while there, it sounded like it was going on and on and on. So that's sort of what I'm about.
Wonderful. We have people that are activists, people that are interested in issues, so I'm sure we'll be drawing on your interest and skill in acting up.
Yeah.
Neil?
Yeah, hi. My name is Neil Ryan. I'm a writer. I'm a poet, a writer mostly of short stories and poetry, and I'm exploring the dark side of poetry for the first time, so. And I have a book published. Thank you very much. Where is it? It's called From the Other Side. About 60 poems and three short stories. So, and it did a really wonderful job yesterday because I sold 7-8 books yesterday. So right on.
Oh, congratulations. Nancy?
Hello, I'm Nancy Sinclair, and I live on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. And I have lots of different interests. I have a pet sitting business, and I'm a caregiver, and I'm a photographer and writer. And just got in from walking and was sharing with Charlotte that a hummingbird just flew above my head, about a foot above me, and that was a nice gift for the day. So, so I'm excited to hear our conversation today about Mother's Day. I've never considering Mother's Day, so I'm excited about today. Thank you.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. We have a queen. We have Queen Combi. Say your name properly for me if I messed it up.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, everyone. My name is Combi Nanjala. Combi, I was born when we didn't have food back in Africa. That time my mama gave birth to me, and that is why I was given the name Nanjala. Nanjala means hunger. Hmm. So in Africa, we go by which day you're born, which month you're born, what is the season. So we don't have to struggle looking for a name. The kid is born during rain. They just call the kid rain. When it's hunger, Nanjala, rain, Nafula, when people are struggling. So when it's joy, skuku. So we don't have a problem. So Nanjala is my name, as explained. I'm a caregiver. I've been to Canada. I arrived since 2006. I came here through United Nations because I worked in the slums of Kibera. Kibera is the second largest slum in Africa. So I worked in the slums helping those people who are dying of HIV/AIDS. That time, HIV/AIDS in Africa was a threat. People didn't understand what it meant. Nobody would go closer to a person dying of HIV/AIDS. And I got involved trying to wash and clean them. And I am so lucky that I didn't realize how dangerous or how good it was. I used to wash them, clean them without gloves because we didn't have gloves. But I even didn't realize, I didn't even think of what am I doing. I just washed them, I just fed them, I was there with them. And then we struggled to upgrade this, the living standard, to upgrade the slums. And we were able to build houses in the slums that are permanent today. And that was the part of my job that brought me to Vancouver, to showcase my work in the slums of Kibera. I've been, when I arrived, I did a course. I trained in caregiving. I was able to work. I've been working with people who are dementia. I work with people who are mentally handicapped. And I also work on the streets of Vancouver, helping those with the challenges on the drugs, homelessness. So on the streets of Vancouver, because I worked with the kids in the streets of Nairobi, I thought when I come to Vancouver, I'll still continue working with the people on the streets of Vancouver, Hastings. But I think it was different and it was hard for me to maneuver that. Because these ones are grown-ups back in Africa. It helped the small, young kids on the streets. So it was hard for me. But I opted out to be cooking for them. So I have been cooking food and serving the people on the streets since 2008. Up to, I am giving the food next on 15th of this month again. So that has been my work. Sorry that my introduction is too long and it's still there. If I talk, I can talk the whole 2 days.
But well, we're happy to hear about what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't want to bother you. And this is Mama. She called me Queen. I have always been proud of who I am. And that is why I say I'm a queen of Africa. I'm African queen. And if you called me that, I'm okay. If you called me Mama Kombi, I am okay. If you simply called me Kombi, I am good. Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Ruby, can you hear us? Okay. Introduce.
Yes.
Some have met you. We just are having that brief time where people introduce themselves and then we're going to go into the activities for today.
It's so interesting because a little bit I have of everybody from you in Africa. I was in South Africa one time. I enjoyed being there. I've been, as far as nationalities, from the 40s to the 50s and beyond, my family was, one part of my family was Methodist. My mother was a Muslim. My father was a religious scientist. And my mother thought that he was a Scientologist and took me to visit. And I had a friend that was Catholic, so I joined the Catholic Church. And that's where I studied up until I till I got my degree at the Loyola Marymount University, and we had to study religion, and I realized it was all one, and that's when I became a religious scientist. So I was with the, for 30 years with the Church of Religious Science, and I'm a practitioner and a minister with International Metaphysical Ministries, and also with CSL. I got my doctorate, like you said, later.
Late.
And my doctorate was in just support of people, families and everything. And right now, basically, I'm with the ICUJP, which is International Unity for Justice and Peace. And I'm on the board there. And
I think my daughter's been on that board.
Oh, what's her name?
Christy Stevenson?
Could have been.
Up to about 3 years ago. Anyway, yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, no, that's okay, because she can get back on because we're doing viral now, or virtual. What is it?
It's with a B. Yeah. Okay.
On Friday mornings at 7 a.m. if anyone wants to come. But also I've worked with homeless people. I don't call them homeless. I call them, about, you know, choosing their home or something else. I had another title. It'll probably come up, you know, with senior stuff here.
Yes.
That I give them. But I have, and regarding books, I've been writing these books for so many years. And so I was very happy to meet this loving spirit, Charlotte, who is also a sister at Agape International Spiritual Center. So this is me. And as far as colors and nationalities in the 40s and 50s, I thought, you know, everybody was just the same, just about. I mean, we were lighter or darker or whatever, but I had no idea of what was happening until the 60s to the 70s, because I went to high school in Germany. And so I came back to the States and here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome. We have such a thread of commonality. We've got travelers, we have adventurers, we have people who have got not just a belief in justice, but lifelong work in those areas. So this is a good thing that we will share in May, which is a few fun facts that I'm going to give about May. Who knows where we got the name May?
No.
Well, it's the fifth month of the Gregorian calendar, and it's defined as the fifth month of the year, and it has 31 days. And along with the rest of the months, they all come from the Romans and were based in Latin. May entered English in the 1050s. It developed from an old English word, maius, which was borrowed directly from the Latin maius. I might not be saying the accent right. And it was short for maius mensis, maia's month, literally maia's month. The Greek goddess Maia was one of the Pleiades, the companions of Atreus, the goddess of the hunt. So Maia is related to goddesses. So it's sensible, interesting that connects with Mother's Day. Maia was the mother of Hermes, the messenger of the gods. But the Romans had another goddess named Maia, who just happened to share a name with the Greek goddess. So the Greek goddess became conflated with the Roman Maia Majesta, the goddess of fertility and spring. So the growth and increase that we see in the month of May is associated with this roots of it's a naming of those, well, from the two goddesses. And if you want to dig a little deeper, the Greek name Maia comes from a root meaning mother, nurse, midwife. It appears to be related to Magnus. We know someone named Magnus, Jesse, huh? And Magnus means great, and the source of words like magnify. So May is a fantastic month for us to be exploring and playing around with. So today we are also looking at and talking about Mother's Day, and we ask people if you had a picture, a thought, or something that you wanted to share related to mothers. So Neil jumped right on the email and sent back a message. He has a poem that he wrote for his mother. So we're going to hear his mother's poem.
Hear my mother poem. My mother born 1903. So my born in 1940, she was already a mature human being. So I have a poem that I wrote a couple of years ago now called Ordinary Mary. Ordinary Mary, 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 quite ordinary. What were the dreams you dreamed? And did any of them ever come to be true? I never really knew you and what the needs you had. Whatever they might have been, you kept them all to yourself, and I apologize because I never thought to ask. Mary, Mary, quite ordinary. I knew you were my mother, but that was all I knew of you. It never occurred to me that you were a person, too. You had a life other than to be there just for me. Tell me, Mary, what was it that you aspired to be or to do? Mary, Mary, quite ordinary. What were your thoughts as evolution passed you in the blink of an eye? From oil lamp light to spaceman walking on the moon? As a girl, did you dream you were to be married, bear children, live life, and grow old on the farm? The farm the bank took because the rains never came. Ordinary Mary, quite ordinary. I heard that times were tough when I was little. And whenever I was frightened, you took me to your rocking chair. That's the one you rocked me in when you were frightened too. As I grew older, I labeled you as nothing fancy, nothing bold, just a housewife in the city with a family to look after. Mary, Mary, quite ordinary. For 7 days and seven nights, the rains did constant fall. And again, you lost your home. Only it wasn't drought this time as the river overflowed and swept away all of our possessions and the memories that they held. Afloat, out on the lake, just a mile or two, and forever gone away. Mary, Mary, quite ordinary. I knew so little of who you might have been. So now you're gone, but not forgotten. But I wish I could tell you, you'll be in my heart forever, and to thank you oh so much for being my ordinary mother. End of poem.
Nice. Good.
Thank you, Neil.
Any thoughts or comments?
No, I think that it's well stated and that a lot of children fail in that way of realizing that the parents had dreams and how many of the dreams did they set aside on behalf of the children, and to appreciate that, because I don't know what my mother's original dreams were, but I had three photos I haven't got with me. It would take me too long to find them. You know about my filing system by that comment. But that sense of there was one when my mother was finally engaged and she seemed very happy and they bought a piece of property in Deep Cove. And I think, okay, she seemed like, ready for this adventure. It was pretty much a house with no running water, et cetera. They were pretty much settlers there, born in 1913. And another one of her winning... coming number four, being presented her medal of number four in World Swim Meet. So as an older person, 78, she started competitive swimming and she ended up at the World's Meet, Swim Meet in Montreal. And there were 26 people, her age group in it. So instead of getting golds by default, almost as she did for many years in BC, or very little competition in her age group, that she all of a sudden was successful in that way. And that was a way I'm sure she never thought of. So that's enough. You've heard from me. In other words, what you dream is maybe not what you get, but maybe you had something that was an accomplishment that was also, she quit swimming, competitive swimming at 88. And she was BC's second oldest competitive swimmer. And that her whole life was built around that in the last 10 years was competitive swimming.
Wow, that's interesting. That brings us up over to something else that's one of the goals set for this podcast group, which was to build the largest reservoir of stories that people have about family members, friends, et cetera. And we have the capacity on a day other than Thursday for you to record. You can do an interview or you can do a reflection about your mom, and that can go into this reservoir that we're building.
Is it all on your mom, though? Is it all supposed to be about your family or your mother?
No. That's just when you were talking about the things she did at 88, I thought that's pretty remarkable. No one would know about that. But, you know, you could do interviews or stories about anyone that you find interesting or notable. It doesn't have to be someone that the Vancouver
papers
have said is notable.
Yeah, I'm doing certain things like that for the Deep Cove Heritage Society already. So, yeah. And I do, yeah.
Are they recording them?
Yes, yes. Some of them are being recorded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And others are just writing. I'm writing a feature on an older person for each newsletter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who else brought something that they'd like to share?
I just want to make a comment. Listening to Neil's poem, it struck me that how my mom had put her dreams aside for getting married to my husband, my dad, and just that generation, just so that was what she did, what was acceptable, and what she thought was, you know, her responsibility. And I never really knew any of her dreams other than I believe she wanted to be a nurse, but she just seemed at the time that it was the right thing to do was that he was the man, he was, you know, the head of the family, and what he decided is what went down. So we were asked, you know, suggested to bring a picture, and I have one picture of me with my mom when I was a baby. And it's the only picture I have, so I'm adopted, so she's my adoptive mom. And I know very little about her, actually, very little about her. But I've always had such gratitude for having been adopted. I was born in Argentina and adopted a newborn baby and traveled the world and lived in different places because of my dad's, where he worked. And, you know, until we were asked the question about Mother's Day, I've never really queried it. You know, we were just raised as it was, you know, one day out of the year to celebrate Mother's Day, and, you know, with flowers or lunch or whatever it is. And so I did a little bit of research, and I wasn't aware that the gal that originally wanted to have it celebrated, her name was Anna Jarvis. She was from West Virginia, and it was officially marked as a official holiday in the U.S. in 1914. And she pushed for it as a way to celebrate her mom when she passed. And Anna herself never had children. And then she got quite involved with doing other things, had Mother Day work clubs to teach women how to care for their kids. And then because it became so commercialized, she actually started fighting to have it decommercialized because she was so upset about, you know, what they had done with it, because that wasn't the point of the whole thing. So she became, I guess, very politically involved with something that she wanted marked as a really special occasion for the right reasons. And then she fought to have it, you know, not celebrated as an official holiday. So I just had some reflection in terms of, you know, Mother's Day and in terms of, you know, privilege. We all have privilege of varying sorts. And listening to that wonderful woman that shared, the queen, we all have such different experiences. And Mother's Day is so commercialized as so many other holidays are. And you know, and to be a mom, it's such a commitment. And beyond that, I mean, there's so many pieces to this, so many components of it. And there's a lot of sacrifice and sacrifice in such different ways. And, you know, it's a real privilege to be a mom. It's also a real privilege for the children to have mothers. And, you know, despite the types of relationships they may or may not have, the abilities the mothers may or may not have, the situations, the circumstances, you know, everybody doing their best in the moment with the tools and resources they have and And whether we have had good relationships, whether we've had moments of really good parts of those relationships, whether they've been dysfunctional or distressed, or I mean, who knows what? There's so many components. I mean, I don't know anything about my biological mom or dad. And yet I have so much gratitude, you know, because if not for them, and then not for my adoptive parents, and on and on. And I had such a wonderful childhood in so many ways, and lots of complications with my relationship with my mom. We were never close. And I've done a lot of forgiveness work for a lot of things that have occurred. And Charlotte posing these questions, I recognized last night that as much as I've done a lot of forgiveness work and I'm in a good place about things, my mom passed on many years ago and actually I don't even know when she passed on. But I haven't done any healing work in terms of creating a new relationship. And it just struck me last night that I have the opportunity to do that now with her in spirit. And there's so much to being a mom. I mean, I remember when my son was born, he's 31. And I remember holding him and falling in love in a way that I have never experienced, could never describe, could never show enough gratitude for. And like you say, whether despite what type of relationship anybody has or hasn't had with their mom, at one point in time, when that baby came into the world, it's the greatest gift that woman ever, ever could experience. And regardless of what unfolds during the course of a lifetime, that woman loved that baby more than anything, and she could possibly describe to anyone. So as much as we all have our moments, you know, we all go through these ages and stages of life and natural parts of our life where we have discourse with our parents and we go through our rebellious times and whatever it is. But it's such a gift and such an honor. And so how you just celebrated in one day, commercialized or not commercialized, I appreciate the question, Charlotte. I appreciate you asking, you know, about Mother's Day. And it is so much more than just, well, Mother's Day is here and far and far. But the hearts, you know, the hearts, and we're all, I believe that we're all responsible in so many ways. It's that whole context of, you know, it takes a village, right, to raise children. So we all have our hearts that we can put out to love one another and take care of each other's children, whether we know them or not. So thank you.
One of the things I'd like to say is that on Mondays, we're on a call. And one thing we do, the person, you know, we bless our ancestors. And mm-hmm. One thing he says on there is those ancestors that are supporting us, known and unknown. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that when you spoke about your mother. So those that are loving you, those that you've never even thought about or meant before, but they're still your ancestors. And I, because, you know, this is what we all, you know, come on. And then, you know, we say, you know, the ones we know, and then we say those known and unknown. So I just want to share that with you. Thank you.
Dr. Ruby.
And thank you for the support, you know, and all the information that you gave, because it's kind of a similar travel with me, except I knew my mother, so I'm going to pass, and then when I'm ready to read, I'll read.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Nancy, thank you very much for sharing. My son is adopted, and I know the trials and tribulations that go through that process, and I'm blessed that he and I have become best friends.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So
thank you, Nancy. Like what you have shared is, to me, I can't imagine, because for us, life is different. In Africa, they say a child is raised by a village, and that is true. When a parent or both parents die, this kid remains inside that particular family. The people who know the kid, the people who have raised the kid. So the difference between us in Africa and in Canada, I'm just coming to learn about Mother's Day. When I'm old, like I am here, we didn't celebrate it. We didn't even look at it. But Nancy, what you say is touching. It's good that I'm learning something. We are all learning something. I have worked supporting people out there, like I said. And I come to places, I meet people when they're in their last days on the earth, that God did not place them with children, or who did not want to bear children because of different problems. And when they're almost going and they don't have any relative, they don't have that kid, it pains. You will see the pain in their eyes, like, I wish if, or like, it's really painful. And for you, having no parent, your own biological, and then you have this adopted family that left you feel like you're feeling, you even didn't have that connection to them, and you even don't know when your mom died. It's so touching, because it's something that you wished to have. It's something that you wished, like when others are saying, my mom, I met my mom, I'm going to see my mom. Where are you? What do you think? And that is exactly what made you maybe not even remember that we have Mother's Day, but with the love that you felt when you held your son. And that is the feeling that you had. I wish if there was somebody who loved me the way I love my son. Everything is not gone, my sister. I believe that God has a purpose for everything, and we just have to appreciate. We just have to thank him, and we thank you for sharing. Later, maybe I can share my poem. I have a poem from my son to Mama, if it's okay, but if not, maybe next time.
Oh, no, you could read it now.
Oh, I can read it. Okay. So this is a poem from my son. He's educated. He's not like me. So he wrote it. Mama, where and why? Mama, why is your hand not on my head? Why are you so quiet without a hum or a song? Why am I not rocking along with your hum? Why don't you lull me to sleep? I want to sleep just like yesterday. Where is Yaya? I miss the butterflies and the flowers he brings. The way he lifts and throws me in the air. He lets me watch the colored water from the chicken's neck, the feathering, and he lets me taste the raw meat. My milk has never tasted this different. Unless you are late from the dirty land with soil on your feet and hands, and sometimes yams on your head for me. Where you come from with water on your face. and breathe like a running dog? Or is the milk from the small room in this dark hut where the sweet sand is kept in a wooden pole? And when you are weak and choose not to let me circle, the green legs and black feet are gone. Their lashes and kicks went with them. The loud stick and their noisy mouth left. The big dogs with huge teeth ran after them. They have clothes that look like leaves, ha 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 ha. And their faces resemble butcher's coat. What did the paper tell the one who sat here? He kept laughing. I wish the paper told me too. Did they come for the mangoes? Did you steal those mangoes? Yaya gave me the big one. He wants me to grow strong and lift him. Where is father? Did they want father's snuff? He says it's very expensive and I should not touch it. Why haven't you started the fire, Mama? Why did Yaya fall after the loud noise? I see him hiding over there. He has always been so good at hiding. Why are the village people coming? We did not slaughter a cow this month, and the father is not here with his car either. Why are they screaming, Mama? Who has left this land to visit the spirits? Like the story you told me last night, Mama. Can you hear me, Mama? Can you hear me, Mama, Mama, Mama?
That is so touching.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so touching.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what he meant. I'll go back to him and ask. To me, when I read it, I start feeling about the things that happen in Africa. You wake up one morning and there is war, like what happens in Congo. Another thing is like, he woke up and the mother was dead. So I need to go back and ask him what he really meant. But it, when I read that poem, it has always touched me. And I start feeling like something is not right. Or I just start feeling like I want to cry. But that is his poem. Thank you for listening.
It seems to me like he's asking because he feels you have the wisdom and there's these things he can't figure out about what's going on around him. But knowing or feeling your heart that you would have an answer, it's like all the things troubling him where he doesn't understand about life, he's asking you, knowing in some way you would answer or soothe him about it. Mm-hmm. How old was he when he wrote that poem?
He wrote it when he was about 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's now 30.
Did anyone else write something or bring something from a picture or an item of their mother's or that made them think of a mother?
Well, this book fell down on the floor and my mother wrote it. It's a little different. My mother was a jazz singer, so I can go on YouTube and kind of anytime I get lonely and everything. But she was, I'll tell you, her mother and my great-grandmother had babies together. My great-grandmother had 7 children, so my mother was raised with these children. My grandmother, her name was Hazel, and my great-grandmother was Phyllis. So my mother was the youngest, and her daughter, my great-grandmother's daughter, was the youngest. So as my mother was basically raised with this family, because her mother, Hazel, was Swift. And I happened to look in this book, and I found a poem, and I hadn't even read this poem, but it's called Hazel the Unique. You know, I was looking to see what I should read since you mentioned it. And when I saw Hazel the Unique, I said, if my mother wrote about Hazel, she was reading about my grandmother. So I'd like to share this with you. My mother, even though I'll just say this about her, as far as raising me, I was very lucky, because when my mother and my father broke up, my mother decided, my family decided to keep me in the home. We had a large home in Denver, Colorado. And so they made me a ward of the home, whereas I was adopted in the home, and my mother could have me as long as she didn't take me on her trips to travel. They went to court on this, so I was kind of adopted to the house in a different way. So, and then when my great-grandparents went over, I had a choice to try moving with my mother, and I did. That's when I came to California. And my mother was very busy and saw how busy I was. And so she sent me to Germany with my great aunt and her husband. They were in the service. But anyway, this is what my mother wrote about my grandmother, Hazel the Unique. In the past, I have read millions of words written by others, extolling, expounding on their love and worship and virtue of their mothers. But like so many people, I have hesitated before putting thoughts into words on paper. It's hard for me to explore. Still, I wonder how many never took the time to say, "Mother, I adore you," in so many different ways. In this wilderness of life, you've been my beacon and guiding light, growing and watching and struggling with you. I've learned of wrong and right. My prayer now, you see, is that I didn't fall too short on the mark you set for me. That's the only way I know you were guiding me constantly. I can never remember a time together when we didn't share laughter. Your sense of humor always brought us thoughts through, made comedy of disaster. Mother, I just must tell you how I feel. The emotions that well within me are the only things real. If this time is distinct, or if it's near at hand, and God has a desire for you to fulfill another plan, don't mind if you must drop this earthly body. Assume another form of transition isn't difficult. It's why we were born. Your body has grown fragile and time worn. With age unable to completely repair itself and has advanced another stage, this knowledge shouldn't hamper or stifle your endeavor. The beauty of your mind and soul is meant to live forever. Infinity, there's a brand new healthy body just waiting for you to take possession of and return for the work you have yet to do. You are a beautiful, living, reverent spiritual being, belonging not only to me, but the whole universe. God is ever overseeing. Whatever is in order, it is futile to resist. Whatever his command, to his will, we all submit. So when the time comes to traverse this strange, exotic new land, Don't be afraid. Reach out and God will touch your hand. That was written by my mother to my grandmother in her book. And this happens to be the first time that I read it. And the book fell out on the floor, you know, and I would look through the book, you know, but I just never really saw it. And I know they're all my ancestors and the mothers are shining down on me right now, just blessing my mother and this book.
I think what an awesome thing that it just fell on the floor and said, here, here.
Right.
You want to bring forth something different.
I had several books up here. And this was the original one because it has the black on it. Yeah. So mama's in my business all the time.
Well, I think there's such a beautiful connection in what you said about not knowing or taking into account what the mother did. It had such a connection to Neil's poem at the beginning.
Yes.
And then Wendy bringing out things her mother did at 88, that in each way it's brought about these different ways. It's not a Hallmark moment. No syrupy language can match all of the things that each of you have brought forth in talking about mothering.
Yes.
Mama Kumari, in talking about not only the letter from her son, but the way that she mothered people who were dying and people who were shunned with no worry of whether she would be ill. And then the testimony that here she is now still well and looking at ways to feed people on the streets of Vancouver. And so I think that just this inner desire to give and to love is something that's one way of looking at motherhood. And it kind of is an answer to people who feel I don't know whether it's not necessarily has to be gender related, because it's a quality that, like as your son was looking at the qualities and things that were put in, Neil talking about the qualities and things that he got from his mother and seeing her suffer and losing everything that she had stood for, that this is a quality that is worth nurturing. As Nancy said, when that you finish with the struggle of getting this little being out of you, that you can in the next few minutes really look and love this little thing that you've carried around and that's caused so much trouble, but then also being adopted and feeling how somebody could love you and take care of you even though they hadn't gone through and been the person of birthing you. So I really thank you for what you shared in these conversations. And it gives rise to other things within our agenda as we jump into June, looking at how we can unlock stories, encouraging more people to look at the stories that are there of their ancestors or their family. Because too often we're always told about somebody else that's the great thing or somebody else that's the healer, warrior, nurturer, and right there in your own family, everybody has someone. And so getting those stories out, there is an entity in the U.S. called StoryCorps, and they've got over 2,000 stories recorded. I did their workshop, and they said, well, if you record stories, they won't go into our National Library of Congress, but I encourage you to have a reservoir in Canada like that. So 411 Center, this Powered by Age podcast program is in communication with libraries and other people who've got their own regional reservoirs to see if we can connect. And then also are having the technology and the skills to help people, whether it's just recording or using different inflections and so forth with telling a story. Those are things that are going to be available again. And one area is the audiobooks, because people are buying audiobooks like never before, but the opportunity that while we are still circulating this thing called oxygen and have ideas in our brain, we can continue to write and output stories. So each of you, in the ways that you are all involved with other people, you can encourage other people to get involved with the podcast. Those of you who might be hearing the podcast, if you want to find out how to get the login number, you can email me at pbaafc@gmail.com. You could comment on the CJSF radio station by tagging. You put the hash sign CJSF and let us know through that way that you would like to be involved in this podcast program and in the things that we're learning. We also, I was very heavy of heart on Monday. The third of the month was the day of the month that my mom made her transition. And even though it was 28 years ago, I was still just feeling things that I'd never said to her or wish I had said, or this person that's kind of like a magician doing all these things, but yet they're ordinary. And so I found pictures. And so one of the things we'll be able to teach people how to do is how to make a simple movie, a video with pictures. I made a 3-minute movie that I put on my Facebook of just pictures that I had. And then it lets you easily put in captions. So that's another one of the types of workshops that we'll be able to do on this additional day to our Thursday podcast. So as I say, when we're signing out on the radio, we'll see you again next week for the podcast at 1. See you on CJSF. It's Friday mornings at 10. And it's always love time, poem time, and happy Mother's Day to each of you who have been mothers or had a motherly spirit that has supported things that are happening here and around the world.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, each and every one of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. Everyone. Love and peace out.
Love and peace out. Remember to tell a friend. Bring a friend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless. What an interesting day this has been. We learn more about what May means. We ask, may we talk about money? May we talk about motherhood? May we talk about things of, let me just scratch that. That's where I write things down. What an interesting discussion that we've had. We started off learning that May came from a Greek goddess and a Roman goddess, and that the word means, has a root meaning of mother, nurse, midwife, and it has properties of being the goddess of the hunt and messenger of the gods. So this is a strong month, and Mother's Day, people are honoring in different ways. Today, we learned that it's not so much a syrupy card experience, but an opportunity to go inside and reflect on the people that gave us strength, the people that might have risked life and limb to bring us into being, and those people that reached out and have adopted children not their own, the people that have been raised by men, been raised by cousins, been raised by people that have had the motherly characteristics of nurturing, guiding, teaching, protecting. So happy Mother's Day to you, and I hope to see you again next week at 10. And regardless of what it is, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time. Love.